Ghost Wolf Radio calling. Ghost Wolf Radio calling. This is Ghost Wolf Radio calling. And I'm your host, Frank Bauer. But some days I don't use the moniker Frank Bauer. Some days I just like to not say my name at all. You know, because I'm an advocate of the nameless, faceless men and women who have decided that enough is enough. We're not going to take anymore. We're not going to sit on our ass and not allow our race to just go quietly into the night. Ghost Wolf Radio is brought to you by the Insurgency Radio Network. Insurgency Radio Network at resist.com is the brainchild of the unequivocal, uncompromising, highly motivated, highly dedicated Tom Metzger. You can reach Tom at tm_metzger@yahoo.com. You can write him at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana 46581. You can listen to the Aryan Update line. Every 3 or 4 days, Tom puts out a message, or maybe he just introduced himself and just leaves the rest of the tape for you guys to rant. Please don't call up and bitch about how bad the niggers and Jews are. This is supposed to be the Insurgency Radio Network. We need to network, share ideas. That number is 574-267-5036. And today's show, I want to talk about SEER. Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape. I'm going to be gleaning some of these things from FM 21-76 and also FM 21-75, which is combat training of the individual soldier and patrolling. Now, a lot of these things, I mean, we're going to have to tweak them to our own situation. Like I've said before, I don't know who came up with the phrase Ghost Wolf, but whoever did, give yourself a pat on the back. And I hope you're not upset that I've kind of borrowed that phrase for my radio shows. I was calling these guerrilla radio, but I just think Ghost Wolf, you know, there's a line of demarcation between us and the rest of the guerrilla movements around the world. You know, there have been failed guerrilla movements, and they failed mainly because they didn't have popular support. I'm thinking of, I believe it was the communist movement in Malaysia, the communist movement in Greece, and the insurgent group called the Hucks in the Philippines. And they basically isolated themselves from popular support, and that's exactly where we are. We are not going to have popular support. In fact, a good percentage of the white population in the white diaspora is diametrically opposed against us. I mean, they are just, they're our number one enemy. So it's time that we start, you know, adopting different measures. It's time that we, you know, start thinking outside the box. I've said this before, and I'm sure I'll say it again. Okay. Got to think about the when you're on an invasion. When an invasion first starts, of course you're going to leave the immediate area, and depending on enemy activity, you're going to find a hide position. Now, if your evasion starts, let's say it at a certain valley or the foot of a certain hill, you're not going to run up the hill, or run out of the valley. Or evade out of the valley, find a hide. You're gonna put some ground. You're gonna cover some ground as quick as you can. You're not gonna find a hide position in the immediate area. You're gonna somewhat get out of dodge. Okay. Now, you'll leave the immediate area, and depending on enemy activity, you'll find a hide. But before you leave your hide position, you have to have an evasion plan. You have to know the terrain. You have to surreptitiously scout the surrounding terrain. Okay, you gotta see what kind of terrain you're up against. Is it rolling hills with intermittent wood lines and forests? Is it desert? Is it jungle? escape and evasion over a long range evasion plan. I mean, it's, and if you're in the jungle, that's going to be tough going, because, you know, insect bites, you know, if you get a number of them, they're going to weaken you. You know, they're going to cause you to become sick. And there's two types of evasion. You've got long range and short range. Short range, you're pretty much near the forward combat zone, and when the return to friendly control can be accomplished within a couple of hours. But long range evasion, you know, that's kind of like a downed pilot who has to travel over foreign terrain for extended periods of time with little or no food or equipment. Now, we may have to do that. But I foresee a lot of our ghost wolf activities taking place in the urban centers. And like I said a number of shows ago, we're gonna at first stay out of small towns. When we first get this thing going, and I hope it's not too far off in the future. I mean, I hope I live to see it at least start. I hope I live to see it start. I recommend that you stay as a single cell resistance elements, okay? If you have a comrade and you both believe fanatically in the survival of the white race, you don't need any more than that. But I'm telling you right now, if you're by yourself and you're not talking about race, you're not getting tattoos, you know, you're doing your best to blend in with society, you know, I cannot stress how invincible you are. And I've said this on another show, the anonymity that you will experience in a town unaffiliated with you, your friends, or your family, that's a good driving distance away from your home, possibly a city in another state, it is intoxicating. It truly, I'm speaking from personal experience here. Shit goes down in that town, I mean, they're going to be looking for, you know, a resident of that town, you know, and if you do deceptive things at a certain scene, and I'm not saying I've done what I'm about to say, but, you know, let's say, for example, you have a problem with someone, you're in a foreign city, in your home country, that's a good driving distance away from your hometown, and maybe you do something like, you know, you shout something at the scene like, "That's what you get, motherfucker, for not paying me my money," and stuff like that. And witnesses who hear stuff like that, they're going to report that to Zog. And then Zog is going to investigate the victims. And I'm not saying we're killing people. I'm just using this as a hypothetical situation. You know, I'm kind of working on this in my novel, you know, with my hero, Eric Blackburn. But, you know, he shouts certain things at the scene of whatever he does. So the agents of Zog who receive a lot of training in victimology, you know, investigating the victim, finding out what's going on in his life, they're going to concentrate on people and his immediate life, okay? And maybe they'll come to the conclusion that this was a random thing, but who knows? So, just one of the ways to throw them off. Okay, so before you leave your high position, you have to have an evasion plan. Okay? Now, this hold of time is governed by enemy activity, your physical condition, and your level of patience. You also may need this hold of time in a high position to regain strength to evaluate your situation. Okay, I haven't ran across it yet, and it may be in a different manual. And by the way, this manual was written in 1969, and I think they've updated it since then. You know, because, I mean, the military is always updating their tactics, and that's smart of them to do so. So, but there's an acronym for the word survival, and I don't have it written down anywhere. I'm going strictly on memory here. S is size up the situation. What type of situation? Are you in a long range evasion, or are you in a short range? Okay? U stands for undue haste makes waste. You got to control that fear and panic. You know, it's only going to cause you to make mistakes. You got to do your best to be level-headed and cool-headed. Okay? R was remember where you are. You know, if you have a map on you, and by all means, have no marks on that map in case you are captured by Zog. You don't want to compromise your mission because of things you've written on the map. Okay, but remember where you are. And survival. And V was value living. You can't give up, man. You gotta keep fighting on. No matter what if you have a broken wrist, some broken fingers, a broken arm, you know, you can't say, you know, I'm just gonna give myself up. I'm gonna fall into the hands of Zog or Chinese occupation, and they're gonna take care of me. You know, I just don't think I can do this. You know, this is where we need to be developing mental toughness now while things are still relatively peaceful. We need to build up intestinal fortitude. I told you a story the other day about Metzger when he's having some kind of pains or whatever, or he's not feeling good. He'll still go on his 5-mile walk because he said you never know when you're going to find yourself in a position where you're going to walk for miles and miles injured or hurt. Okay, so you guys got to be doing stuff like that to build mental toughness. You got to raise your pain tolerance. Now, if you're training, and you have a hyperextended knee or a hyperextended elbow or a joint out of place, you know, go seek medical attention. But you know, you gotta work. When you hit that wall of pain and fatigue, you gotta train yourself to work past that. Okay, survival, individual skills. I think was I. You need to sharpen up on all individual skills. And that includes martial arts. That includes survival skills that you guys are researching on your own. There's great shows on Discovery Channel called Man vs. Wild. Bear Grylls, the British guy who served in the British SAS. He also climbed Mount Everest. I believe he trekked across the South Pole also. He did a lot of adventurous stuff. This guy, I mean, I can't believe some of the stuff he eats and drinks. I mean, I'm surprised he's not, you know, died from a parasite or something. But the guy's a stud with a capital S. You know, so research stuff like that. What plants can you eat? What plants can you not eat? I cannot go over stuff like that on this show. You guys got to research that because you guys got to know what the plants look like. Survival, SURVIV, and the second V was vanquish fear and panic, I believe, right? So you have size of the situation, undue haste makes waste, remember where you are, vanquish fear, or no, value living for the first V, individual skills, sharpen up on your individual skills, and the second V is vanquish fear and panic. It does you no good, okay? You guys gotta just do your best to keep a cool head if you're in a situation like that, okay? A, act like the natives. You may need to blend in with the natives. I've shared a couple stories on this radio network, and you know, shows I've done with Tom Metzger, and I've went into black neighborhoods. You know, I dress like a Hispanic or I dress like a white-skinned black person based on how I dress. You know, I have one of those big baggy FUBU shirts, you know, with like the 05 on it. You know, I have like a drive-on rag on my head. You know the thing that black guys wear to keep their curls, keep their waves tight? You know, kind of like drapes down in the back, and I had my hat canted to the left or right. And I made sure I had long sleeves on and maybe a bandana around my neck, you know. Maybe take some camouflage paint grease, you know, the black color. You can buy it in a tube at an army surplus store. And I would, like, make a goatee on my face. Now, if they're sitting in the same room with me, you could be like, hey, dude, what's that shit on your face? But if you see me from across the street at nighttime conditions, you know, I'm going to look like a guy with a goatee. You know, so it's very easy to look Hispanic, especially. It takes a little work to look black, but you can look Hispanic, you know, so act like the natives. And L was learn more skills, I believe. I don't remember. I gotta brush up on that. I haven't ran across that acronym in a long time. Okay, so you're in your high position. You want to regain your strength, maybe catch your wind, evaluate your situation. Okay, evaders, escaping evaders who have failed, did so because they chose the easiest and shortest routes. Okay? You know, or they failed to employ camouflage techniques and exploited every concealment they can find. Now, remember, the difference between cover and conceal, and cover stops bullets. Okay, you can't be, I mean, you can hide behind cover, like a big rock or a big tree or a log that's been, you know, log that's laying across the ground. You know, that'll stop a bullet. But, you know, I mean, the enemy knows you're behind there. So if you can exploit things that have cover and concealment. Concealment are bushes and trees. They don't necessarily stop bullets, but they hide you. Okay? You know, I was listening to an old show yesterday. You know, I messed up. I want to always remind you guys about MET-T. I think it's MET-TC now, but I've been out of the military for a while. And ACOCA. You know, MET-T is mission, enemy, troops available, terrain and weather, and time and civilians, I believe the C is. You know, what's if you're behind the lines, what's the civilian population like? Are they hostile towards you? Are they, you know, are they for you? I'm going to tell you right now, you know, the civilian population can be hostile towards you because you're going to be making life uncomfortable for people. Okay? That's why it's essential that you swim in the sea of the people. But, you know, what's your mission? You know, you're going to ambush a car of freaking gangbangers. Who's the enemy? It's the 18th Street Crazy Latinos or something like that. Troops available. How many guys you got with you? Is it just yourself? You know, helps you to plan things, you know. Terrain and weather. All right, I want to do it at this location here because I have a lot of routes that I can escape and evade from. Also, I want to do it in conjunction with a night where it's very windy or a night that has a thunderstorm. You have to exploit all inclement weather. Inclement weather is the best when it comes to ghost wolf operations. That's thunderstorms. That's heavy fog, snowstorms. That's thunderstorms, you know, or loud and crashing thunder and stuff like that. You guys, I mean, you know, part of having mental toughness is not caring whether you get wet or you stay wet for many hours or that you have to lay in mud for a few hours or a couple of minutes. Man, I remember one time I was stationed at Fort Hood, Texas, and they have this operation that, well, I don't know if they do anymore, but they had this operation in the late 80s that involved U.S. troops on American soil. And the operation is called Reforger. And Reforger is just a made-up word for return of forces to Germany. You know, based on the premise that the Soviets are going to roll through with a heavy mounted or motorized infantry regiment with a lot of tank support. They're going to come through the Fulda Gap, which is on the in the East German section, which used to be East Germany, which is now, thankfully, Germany. I think they rejoined all that for economic reasons, not because of freedom, not because they gave a damn about people's freedom. But, you know, based on the premise that we would help out the soldiers that were already stationed in Germany. And I remember one night, you know, we were like 3 weeks over, and we were on a patrol one night, and we were sneaking up on this barn there was at least a company-sized element of British soldiers, you know, making a base camp out of this abandoned barn. Or maybe it wasn't abandoned. Maybe the German farmer let them use it, you know. But we're sneaking up on this barn, and I'm trying to tell the LT, listen, you know, the ground had this type of, you know, first of all, it was like in October, so therefore it was cold. You know, there was a thick coat of frost on the ground. There was a big, bright, shining moon up above us. So visibility, even though it was during the hours of darkness, I mean, the visibility was still pretty decent. And there's a lone British soldier outside this barn smoking a cigarette. And I'm trying to tell DLT, listen, sir, I don't think we should go any farther. This ground that we're crawling over is noisy as hell. It was like stalks of hay. It was like, I don't know what kind of vegetation it was, but it was all dried up, and it was crinkly. And he knows, no, we want to get further. We want to encroach on a place further so we can get a better salute report. Salute report was size, activity, location, uniform, time, and equipment. That's an acronym that we use to, if you're on a scouting mission, a recon mission, if you want to get all the pertinent information. So, and I'm trying to tell him, sir, I don't think we should go any further. Sure enough, this fucking British soldier heard us, man. He ran back and he dropped his cigarette, threw his cigarette this side. He ran back inside. And I'm like, sir, we got to beat the fuck out of here. We hauled ass. And there was only six of us. And sure enough, man, we heard like a fucking, like 70 British soldiers hauling ass out of this fucking barn. And, like I said, guys, this is a training mission. We're firing blanks. You know, if these British soldiers capture us, they're not going to, like, torture us. I mean, we're allies. But it was a training mission, you know, that involved different armies of, European nations that were not communists. They were we trained with against the Belgium army, and we did a couple operations against the French army. So, you know, it was stuff like that. So we're hauling ass through the woods. I mean, just hauling ass. And finally we get to this location, we get to this field, you know, we just like dropped to the ground, just froze. We had enough vegetation on the ground to kind of hide us, and these Brits were going all over the place with flashlights. I didn't hear any scent dogs. I don't think, from what I understand, scent dogs are useless when it's real cold. I guess their nose don't work real good in cold weather. But man, they were in the area. I swear to God, I am not exaggerating. I swear to God, I think a British soldier got within 75 feet of me. And I just, and I hugged the ground. And I'm breathing heavy because I was running with this, I had a pack on my back, and I had a radio in my rucksack. I was the LT's radio man. And I'm breathing into the ground. I'm making sure he can't see my breath, and I remain motionless. And it was like 26 degrees that night. And man, I'm telling you, we were freezing. And they were looking for us for a good 45 minutes, and they never found us. You know, we heard stories during that reforger. A reforger takes like 6 weeks. We're over there for like 6 weeks. And we heard one story about how these Brits captured an American soldier, and they tied him up to a tree with his pants down and did shit like that. We were damn sure they were not going to do that to, Alpha Company 2nd Battalion and the 41st Infantry from Fort Hood, Texas. We just weren't having that, And, they can rib us. I mean, later on, after the operation's over with, both the British Army and the American Army, they shared the same tent city. They went to the same, not a beer hall, we had like a, Oktoberfest was going on there, so, we were drinking with the British soldiers and stuff. And I'll tell you what, I trained with these Brits, man, and they're tough boys, man. They ain't no joke. The British Army's, they're a good army. But, man, I'm telling you, we froze. And by the time we got to stand up and resume our mission or go back to, friendly lines, we could barely move. We were frozen stiff because we had to lay perfectly still for at least 45 minutes to an hour. I am not exaggerating. So, I'll tell you what, I was pretty nervous with that because I definitely didn't want to be captured by a company-sized element of British soldiers and have them, tie us to a tree with our fucking pants down and shit. So you got to evaluate your situation. Okay, cover and concealment, and that's what we exploited to remain undetected. And they had flashlights out there. We saw beams of light in the woods, and some of them ventured out in the field to look for us, but I think maybe they thought that they wouldn't find us on the field. Maybe they thought, well, they wouldn't hide on the field, too easy to be spotted, but that's exactly, where we hid. And, the grass was like, the weeds, the vegetation on the field, it was a good 18 to 2 feet tall, so, it hit us well. Okay. Camouflage concealment. And when you're evaders who failed also failed to apply scouting and patrolling. You just don't want to get up out of your hide position and just start walking out of the area. You want to take things slow. Move slowly and stealthily as you can from one covered and concealed position to another. If you get some high ground, make sure you don't silhouette yourself. Stay low to the ground and look at the road down below. You want to stay off of roads and trails. Stay completely off them. You can use them as a guide. You know, you can, you know that this road goes in the southwesterly direction and that you know that's where your friendly troops are. You know, you can skirt that road for, you know, maybe stay 75 to 100 meters off of the road. You may need to stay closer to the road at night because you need to use it as a guide, but stay off of roads and stay away from heavily populated areas. And I think that's one of my points later. But scouting and patrolling, you just don't want to go wandering through the woods like, you know, Mary had a little lamb. You know, you want to use caution with each step. You're looking around. You're not in a situation where you're acting with casual confidence. If you're in a urban setting, then yes. But if you're out in the woods and you had some mission that took place out in the woods and you got separated from your ghost wolf cell, apply this stuff. So the safest route is one that avoids roads and built-up areas. These are cities, villages, towns. Even if it takes more time and energy. You know, you want to exploit terrain that is difficult to walk through or go over. Most soldiers, they don't want to go through a thorny thicket type of vegetation to look for people. And I'll tell you what, that's the best place to establish a patrol base if you need to lay low for a day or two. Not a day or two, for a day. You never want to stay in the same patrol base for more than 24 hours. But a nice thorny, you know, real incommodious type of vegetation, very inconvenient, you know, very cluttered, you know. But you don't want it so cluttered that if you have to beat feet out of there during the night, you sound like a herd of elephants going through the woods, okay? And you may need to prep that. You may need to trim a little vegetation here and there so you can get through the woods without relatively making any noise to get out of your patrol base at night if you need to evacuate it. Okay? So, you need to avoid roads and built up areas. You need to stay away from civilians, man. You know, just because someone's not wearing a uniform, that don't mean that they're on Zog's side. From now, I mean, until the system is severely weakened, you need to treat all civilians, especially civilians with white skin, as enemies. You don't trust them with any information. You don't try to get help from them. If you try to get help from them, you gotta try to play it off that you're not being wanted by the Zog or anything else like that. Try to get help from them and for a different matter. You know, it's like, man, I just got harassed by a bunch of gangbangers, man, or something like that. You know, if you run into a civilian and you do need help, make up a story. But by all means, try to avoid going to an emergency room for anything. Because if you left a blood trail, they're going to be checking with all the emergency rooms in the area to see if you checked in. Make max use of camouflage and concealment. I can't stress that enough. Natural concealment afforded by darkness, shadows. You can exploit shadows in a woodline or a forest type of area during the daylight hours. If you need to hold up somewhere, maybe lay in a prone for an hour to avoid all detection, there's shadows in forest and in woodlines, in wooded areas during daylight hours. So find those shadows. Wooded areas, trees, bushes, and terrain features. You know, you have a rock formation with a rock formation that overhangs a certain, you know, overhangs the ground. You can hide up under there, you know. You're not only good from ground surveillance, but aerial surveillance, too. Okay. You know, I was thinking the other day, or actually yesterday, you know, the Zog has a forward-looking infrared FLIR mounted on the bottom of helicopters. But I'm thinking, you know, how effective is that in the wooded area? Because, you know, how many times have people got lost up in Alaska and they had to send out search parties for them and they never found them? You know, a lot of people die out in the woods. I'm telling you, get in touch. Reacquaint yourself with the natural world. Nothing wrong with being computer savvy, you know? You can be a smart guy like Lone Wolf Wall Street and Lone Wolf Computer Guy, but still no field skills, okay? Combat skills. You know, how to survive in the woods. I said on a number of months ago on a show, you need to practice at least twice a month walking through the forest at night alone. Well, I did it last night. I like to do that every now and then. I can't admit that I've done it twice a month for the last couple of months, but you know, I at least did it once a month. And last night we had some badass thunderstorms. And I'm telling you, man, I mean, it is just invigorating. It is, you feel the power. I mean, it's like my body absorbed the power of nature. Walking through this forest during a heavy-ass thunderstorm, peals of lightning, and I'm telling you, if I hear, you know, and it's pretty pitch black out, I'm walking through this thing, and I'm taking each step carefully. And if I hear something that sounds like it's crashing through the trees, I'm going to hug the nearest big tree. Because the branches of that tree will probably keep me from getting hit from a falling tree. I don't want to run out of the area. I want to just hug a tree somewhere. You know, you may think that that's dangerous to do. We'll do it. And I came upon this open field. And I walked to the center of this open field. And it's just downpouring. And I'm soaking wet. And I look back through the forest that I walked through. And just, it was pitch black. But you can see it defined against the nighttime sky. Especially when lightning struck. I mean, it was just, oh my God, it was just so invigorating. I mean, it was just, I felt like I was high. I felt like I was on some kind of drug. It was just, I got a high like I've never known in quite some time. It was just awesome. You guys got to do stuff like that. Okay. Any method of disguise of hiding from view will increase chances of success. Evaluate the desirability of a disguise. Wearing civilian attire that is different from race, ethnicity, you know, like if you find yourself in an area where you're a white guy wearing native clothes, but you're going to stand out. I don't foresee ourselves in that position. We're not part of Zog's military forces fighting in the third world. But here's where I have to part ways with the manual. You know, you can act like the natives. Remember, like one of the tenets of the acronym survival? You can act like the natives. You can blend in. Carry yourself with casual confidence, and you can wear the type of clothing that they wear, and you can blend in. But doing it overseas somewhere is a bad idea. But in an American urban setting, or urban area, or a European urban area, I think it'll work. Okay, I need to read a page here. It said read page 238. 238 says, under established international law, you are considered a belligerent until captured. As long as the national uniform is worn, soldiers are considered to be under orders to evade capture and not to surrender voluntarily. This entitles you to commit acts of violence against legitimate military targets without the risk of prosecution after capture for violation of the local criminal law. For example, it will be permissible to kill in the line of duty any of the enemy who may impede your effort to evade capture. Such entitlement does not extend to you as an escapee. Such a killing by you as an escapee would be considered murder, and you would be liable for trial and punishment. It says Article 29 of the Chapter 4 of the Hague Convention states that a soldier can be considered a spy if he's acting clandestinely. It means if he's wearing civilian clothes. Now, what do I say about that? Balderdash, okay? You know, if we run into something like that, I mean, come on, look what they did to the Order. Look what they did to Matt Hale. You think Matt Hale deserves to spend 40 years in a federal penitentiary? He didn't kill anybody. And if you listen to those tapes, and I've read the transcripts of those tapes in the Chicago Sun-Times, he didn't say anything incriminating. Bullshit. Now, they're going to railroad us like that? Don't think that you can adhere to any standard of laws when they're not going to. Remember, laws are written by your enemy. You are a law unto yourself. You know? Okay. Travel at night. You have to make, if you're in an escape and evasion situation, it may be incumbent upon you to travel at night. That'd be your best time, okay? If your position is known to civilians or soldiers, move immediately. If you're in a high position and somehow a civilian stumbles upon you, don't alarm them. Don't attack. Well, you may need to attack them to silence them. If you can silence them without them calling for help, you may need to do that. Even if they're white. You know, there's not a lot of ghost wolves out there. I mean, I wonder how many are out there. I can surmise that maybe only, there's only maybe a few hundred people on the radio club. But how many of you out there are truly hardcore? You know, I'll go on a limb and say that these shows that I do are worth it if there's just five of you out there. You know, and I'm a pessimist, man. Sometimes I think maybe there's not even five people out there. So, all right. So if a civilian sees you in a high position, you may need to move immediately. Wait till they're gone. Don't move right away. Act like, you know, everything's cool. You're not bothering him. He's not bothering you. Wait till he gets out of sight and then get the fuck out of the area. He could report you. Okay? You don't want to take off right then and there because he's going to give direction to Zog on which way you went. Okay? Whenever possible, surveil terrain in daylight that you have to walk at night. Try to determine what type of obstacles you will be facing. Okay. Now, I got a couple of pages written up on the evasion. But I'm going to maybe like do a page today. I want to cover some, I just want to get some basic skills out there. Okay. I don't mean to beat a dead horse here, but I have to do it. Cover, natural cover, stuff like ravines, hollows, reverse slopes. Artificial covers are like trenches, walls, foxholes. Okay, exploit every bit of cover the terrain gives you. Okay. Heavy fog, rain, smoke, and dust may greatly reduce visibility day or night. The period before sunrise is usually too dark for strictly day techniques. And the period before sunset is usually too light for strictly night techniques. So at dusk and dawn, you may need to hold up in a high position. Okay? Under such conditions, it may be necessary to vary your techniques or to combine day and night principles and techniques. Concealment is protection from enemy observation. But like I said, it may not stop bullets. If you get the combination of cover and concealment, I know this is repetitive, but you know, I feel compelled to go over this every now and then. And I talked about Met Tea earlier, but I forgot to tell you about Alcoca. I was listening to a show I did the other day, you know, to critique it, and I fucked up, and I hate when my mind goes 200 miles a minute and my mouth can't keep up with it. Alcoca is observations and fields of fire. What are his and what are mine? Cover and concealment. I'm walking along. What would be cover and concealment that I could be shot from? Where would be, you know, I'm thinking, I'm on the offense. You know, where would, if I'm going to be shot up by someone, where would it likely come from? Would it come from that globe of trees? Will it come from grove of trees, not globe? Will it come from behind that log over there? Okay, so a COVID goes both ways, in the defense and the offense. Obstacles, what are my obstacles? Will I encounter a river, a stream? Will I encounter a mountain range? Will I encounter a heavily patrolled border? What are my obstacles? What are his obstacles? What is he, you know, I made it down a cliff face, 150-foot cliff face somehow. Watch Man vs. Wild. See this Bear Grylls do this stuff without ropes. I mean, just, the guy's a stud. You know, and I got down a 100-foot cliff face or 150-foot cliff face. And I, you know, and I'm going along in a nice high position. I look at the cliff face and I notice that my pursuers, that's an obstacle to them. I use that cliff face as an obstacle. If you're not an experienced climber, I wouldn't try it unless as a last resort. And you know, he offers climbing tips on these shows. So if you see Man vs. Wild on Discovery Channel, watch it. I'm telling you, it's good information. Okay, so obstacles. What are his? What are mine? Key terrain. Key terrain in the defense is the high ground. Key terrain when you're escaping, evading, is the low ground. A lot more vegetation in the low ground because it's closer to the water table. Okay, even in terrains like Spain where it's hot and dry a lot of times. So you'll find most of your terrain in the low ground because that's the closer to the water table for it to feed off of. Avenues of approach. If I'm going to go to my objective, what would be my best avenue of approach? Well, I'm going to follow this dried up riverbed all the way to this point. Then I'm going to go through this thorny type of woods here, but I'm going to try and be as stealthy as possible. I'm not going to go along this. I'm not going to walk across this open field, which would be nice and convenient, but it would be dangerous. Remember, most of the time, your best terrain to use to get to somewhere is the terrain that is inconvenient. Okay? I did a personal op one time where I parked my car in this apartment complex parking lot. And it was right butted up against this big-ass wooded area. So I walked through the woods. I did this at night. I walked through the woods and I came upon the clearing because I did overhead photos that I found on Google of the area that I worked in, satellite photos. And I came down the clearing, and I followed this clearing up to where this road goes under another road. And I noticed that when I drove under this road, because I did aerial recon, I drove by this road that goes under this underpass, you know? And so I did mounted recons, I did daytime walking recons. You saw a guy just going for a walk, checking out the terrain that I'm going to have to go under, that I'm going to have to negotiate one night when I do this op. So I come across this overpass, and there's a space between the road that goes over the road that you drive under and the embankment that goes up to it. It's like a nice little shelf. You can sleep up there. And I'm dressed in black, and I just basically low crawl on that little shelf up there under the overpass. And when a car was coming from my rear and from my front, I froze all movement. So it took me like maybe 45 minutes to get across, to get under this underpass. But I didn't want to walk because what if I'm seen? You know, and then when this thing went down, you know, later on and they canvas in the area, did you see any? Yeah, I saw this guy dressed in black, you know, walking under this overpass. I didn't want to take that chance. So when I got to the end of the overpass, I came across this fence. And I cut my way through this fence. And when I went through the hole of the fence, remember I cut the hole in the fence at the bottom of the fence, you know, and I crawled through it. And I low crawled for another 50 feet to avoid any detection from the road that went under the overpass. And I came across the back of this installation. And I'm not going to say what I did. Maybe I didn't do anything. Maybe I just sat there and meditated at the back of this installation. But when it came time to beat feet out of there, you know, I chose a different route. Or I can choose the same route. Okay, natural concealment is provided by your surroundings and needs no change to be used. For example, bushes, grasses, and shadows. Artificial concealment is made by materials such as burlap or nets or things that you can use to break up the outline of your uniform or your hat that you're wearing if you're working in like a wooded area at night. Okay? All right. Use all available concealment. Background is important. Blend in with your background to prevent enemy detection of your position. You know, vegetation does that. Man-made structures forming your background vary in color and appearance, making it impossible for you to blend in with them. Select trees or bushes which blend with your uniform and absorb the outline of your figure. Remember, do not silhouette. If you're walking over the top of the hill, you're silhouetting yourself. Even at night, you always want to walk on the reverse slope or the forward slope of a hill. Shadows help hide you. Soldiers in the open, you know, the shadows are found under most conditions, day and night. Stay low to observe. If you have to check out something, do it in a prone position on your belly. Observe from a crouch or a squat or the prone position. You present yourself a low silhouette, making it difficult for the enemy to see you. Expose nothing that shines. Like I said, you're on a ghost loop off, you wear no jewelry.
much time do I have left?
You wear no jewelry. You wear no dog tags. You have no loose change in your pocket that's making a lot of noise. You have a quick release thing for your car key. You don't need to carry all your house keys and your storage keys with you. Keep that in your car, all right? Maybe you should keep your storage keys in another covert place. But, you know, you have a quick release for you. That's the only thing you need to have on you. And make sure that you wear deep pockets, you know. You know, to make sure you don't lose that, you can, you know, unzip your fly, undo your belt, and you can take the pocket that your key is in and put a rubber band around that pocket, you know, so it don't fall out if you're leery of that happening at all. You know, and when you know, you're on your egress out of the area, you can just force that rubber band loose by forcing your hand through the pocket to get your key, okay? But absolutely wear nothing that makes any noise. And you may need to test out your clothing. Are you wearing any kind of fabric that swishes? Absolutely get rid of it. You can only wear stuff like that if you're going to blend in with other human beings. You're going to swim in the sea of people. But if you need to move stealthily over terrain that affords darkness, cover and concealment, heavy vegetation, you want clothing that makes absolutely no noise. You need to test it out. And you don't want anything that shines. Alter familiar outlines. You know, the shape of a human body is very familiar, so you want to shape that somehow. You can buy a boonie hat at a surplus store, and you can put like strips of. You can buy a camouflage uniform and cut it up into strips, and then tie it into your boonie cap, so it breaks up the outline of your shoulders and your head. Boonie caps are awesome, but I wouldn't wear that when you're walking down the street. It'll stand out. You know, you can have that in a sports bag you got draped over your shoulder. Remember, a flexible sports bag you can flatten out on a table. You know, you can have your boonie hat in your sports bag. And the hat you have on your head could be like a red freaking Budweiser cap. And when you get to your place where you're going to go into the woods, because it's the best route to your objective, well, then you switch hats. You put on your boonie with your strips of camouflage clothing tied into your boonie cap. Keep quiet. Noise such as talking can be picked up by enemy patrols or listening posts. And also, noises travel farther at night. A lot farther. You definitely don't want to smoke a cigarette when you're on a nighttime op. Believe me when I tell you from practical experience, you can see that cherry, you know, the end of your cigarette lit up for a good distance away. Okay? Observe and fire around the side of an object. Try not to shoot over it. This conceals most of your head and body. Stay low to observe and fire whenever possible. You are a smaller target. You can aim better. You can take advantage of concealing vegetation. Select a good background before observing over the top of an object. What am I avoiding by doing that? Silhouetting myself. Avoid observing over the top of a ditch unless a suitable background exists. Camouflage consists of the measures you take to conceal yourself, your equipment, and your position from enemy observation. You may use natural artificial materials. Remember these rules. Take advantage of all available natural concealment, number one. Number two, alter the form, shadow, and texture and color of objects. You know what I did one time? I had a sweatshirt that was it had a good color to it, but I wanted to alter the texture of it. You know, I mean, even though if you were standing 50 feet from me at night, even though it was a 100 green sweatshirt, but I still wanted to alter the shape of it. You know, so I took black spray paint. I just spray painted stripes and irregular patterns on it. You know, and you can still somewhat see the green through it. And I was living at this one house. My landlady found this in my laundry. She's like, "What did you do here?" So, you know, me and my friends, we do a lot of nighttime paintball, you know, because it's more challenging. So I just wanted to, you know, I can't afford the camouflage suits that, you know, they afford. So I had to make my own. And she didn't think nothing of it. But I fucked up by having her, you know, find that shirt. You know, I should have been more careful about that. You know, I was thinking the other day, I really got to cut down on my cursing. I heard it on a number of shows, and I just don't like it. All right, number three, camouflage against ground and air observation. Okay. Camouflage your position. If you're in a high position, you may need to camouflage it. Use only as much material as needed. Excessive use of material can reveal your position. If you have a nice hole in the ground and you got all this uprooted vegetation trying to hide it, you may actually stand out. And in a couple of days when that vegetation dies, it's going to stand out even more. Okay? Obtain your natural material over a wide area. Do not strip an adjacent area of all foliage because such bare areas attract enemy attention. Dispose of excess soil by covering it with leaves and grass or by dumping it under bushes, into streams, into a ravine. Piles of fresh dirt indicate an area is occupied and reduces the effectiveness of camouflage. After your camouflage is completed, inspect it from the enemy's point of view. Check it out to ensure that it remains natural. Now, we wanted to make sure that it was good for at least 35 meters away. 35 meters is the average hand grenade range of the average man. So we wanted to be good for at least 35 meters. Practice camouflage discipline. The best camouflage fails to provide concealment if tracks lead to your position or if cans and boxes are scattered about. Every man in your unit shares this responsibility. Listen, trash will give you away. If you discard paper, a gum wrapper, at the vicinity of a Ghost Wolf op, you may have done a major blunder there. Okay, that's why you don't eat or drink or smoke anything during the commission of an op. You can do that in your car right before you get out, but make sure you don't consume so many liquids that you have to piss. I'm telling you, I know it sounds nitpicky. Try not to have the urge to urinate during the commission of an op. And if you need to do it on an empty stomach, so you don't need to feel the need to. I'm speaking from my point of view. I found out that I do my best Ghost Wolf activity, or when I did do it, when I was in the shadows, when I did it on a relatively empty stomach. If I did it right after I ate, because I'm all hyped up, I got the adrenaline flowing, I found out I usually needed to go to the bathroom. So, like Socrates said, know thyself. Know yourself. Know your limits. Know what you're about. Don't have a false impression of yourself. Don't think too highly of you when you know you're not. If you need to sharpen up on some areas, do it. I found out that if I tried to do an op on a full stomach, I usually burn my route to the objective. Because I'm nervous, and all of you will be nervous. I'm nervous when I did these things. I wasn't super brave. All of you will be nervous, but you got to control your fear. Vanquish fear and panic. But I found out when I did it on a full stomach, I had the urge to defecate. So I stopped. I started doing all my lone wolf stuff on a relatively empty stomach. Not famished, man, because I may need that energy, okay? I usually didn't eat. My rule was I usually didn't eat 4 hours. The last thing I consumed had to be 4 hours before I did what I was going to do. 4 hours. That was plenty of time. Alter the distinctive silhouette of your helmet and cover man with a cover made of cloth or burlap. Okay, I think I've talked about that a lot. All right. Use mud or dirt to dull the shiny surfaces of your weapon. Be careful, however, to keep the working parts of your weapon clean so your weapon will function properly. Remember, to dull the shine of a bayonet. Okay, well, we're not a soldier, part of Zog's imperial forces that want to force democracy on a third world country. We're ghost wolves. We are guerrillas, but we are in a different situation than guerrilla movements of Vietnam and, Cambodia or whatever. Okay, got a little bit of time left. Wear a snowsuit and color your equipment white when operating against a background of unbroken snow-covered terrain. I talked about that. You may need to find, and I had to do this once. I was wearing certain clothes and something went south in something that I did. It all went bad. And I had to get out of the area. And my best route to getting out of the area was through, you know, a forest preserve type of thing. And it was right before dusk, so it was still relatively light out. So I made my way to this forested area, and I found a huge mud puddle. And I'm telling you right now, I took a bath in that mud. You know, because I had a pair of black athletic pants on. Remember, I was wearing clothing that swished, but I was in a situation where I wanted to blend in. But, you know, some things went wrong, and I had to choose a wooded area to make my egress out of the area. Man, I got in that mud puddle, and I just put mud on everything. My head, my face, not my eyes, back of my neck, my shirt. I mean, I was rolling around it like a pig in slop. Okay? Found a high position, wait till it was dark, and I moved back to my, made a circuitous route, actually, to where I parked my car. Man, it took me well into the hours of the morning to get to where I parked my car. It just wasn't a good night for me. Things didn't work out the way I wanted it to. And you know what? That's going to happen to you. But you know what? You go back at it the next night or the next week or when your schedule allows. But that's why before I depart my car, I always cover my driver's seat with a military-style poncho just in case I come back all funky and fucked up, you know? Sorry, guys. I had to go back and I ran out of tape, so I just want to get my final message across. I saw on the news the other night that 25% of all kindergartners in school, in American schools right now, are 25% are Hispanic. And I didn't say the percentage for black and Asian and Pakistani. By 2025, 75% of all children in America will be non-white. By 2025, 16 years from now. Now, they've been telling us for years that by 2050, whites will be 50% of the population. They are lying to us. Okay? We are facing extinction levels if we allow this to happen. And the only way that we are going to do anything about this is if we act. The window of opportunity is closing. I'm telling you right now, you guys, you got to get on the stick with this stuff. You know, I mean, you got to compromise some comfort, some Xbox and some Game Boy or whatever kind of shit you're into that's nothing but a distraction from true Ghost Wolf activity. We need some real men with real balls to get out there and start doing some things. Don't make me regret coming out of the shadows to maybe give you guys some little tips about things. And I'm not saying I'm the end-all, be-all of guerrilla activity. But there's no way by 2050 that the white population be 50%. It will be well under 50%. They are lying to us. We are not 68% of the country's population. Black people do not make up 12% of the nation's population. Fuck no. Look at all the urban areas. There's millions of them. And there's millions of them now in the burbs. Are you going to let this go on? Are you going to go quietly into the night? I am just asking. I am begging. I am fucking begging you. Just five of you. To see the need. To make some changes in your life. Get off drugs. Get off cigarettes. Get off booze. Lose some weight. Get in the best shape you can get in. Start training in martial arts. And I'm not saying wait till you've accomplished all it before you get active. Get active now, but do this stuff in your spare time. The white race is going the way of the dinosaur. We must secure the existence of our people and the future for white children. Carpe noctem, and starve the sheep and feed the wolf. 14.
Well, you heard it. You heard it. That's true. There's only a certain amount of time left. Well, anyhow, that's it for today. That's it for Thursday, March the 12th, 2009, from Guerrilla Radio Man. We'll be back again today, probably, with a doubleheader. A doubleheader from Guerrilla Radio Man. How do you like that? Saturday will be the ever famous Wolf Computer Guy at gmail.com. Yeah. And Our box, P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. Get more people signed up in the radio club because they need this information. They're not getting it anywhere else that I know of, not from a racial separatist, not from a white racist. This is the only white racist show that's putting out this kind of information, so you can sit around and listen to a lot of those others tickling your ears. People that are here today, gone tomorrow. I hear them on the internet. They come and they go. They come and they go. But who's your daddy? Terrible Tommy. 14 words, 5 words. It is a full moon, so watch yourself this weekend. Yeah, and watch out for the copperoonies. Yeah, they're trying to raise a lot of revenue, so they like to arrest people. Yeah.
Carry on that type of, liquidation of the weak, so to speak. I'm missing a phrase here. You carry that on for generation after generation. How can nature not create a race that is the movers and shakers of the world? A lot of people think of the kings of technology are the Asians. Bullshit. They're Johnny-come-latelys to the
to the technology thing. If it wasn't for the white man, they'd still be in the Middle Ages. They'd still have a plow, not a plow with a wheel on it, but a regular plow that you walk behind, tied to a donkey, trying to dig up their rice fields and stuff. In fact, it was the Japanese man in the early 1900s said, let's adopt Western technology to make ourselves stronger so we can compete with them. The Japanese said that. So, I am an advocate of you nameless, faceless ones, and I truly hope you're out there. I want to clear up a certain note on a last Ghost Wolf radio show I did, which is actually on the flip side of this cassette. By the way, my voice sounds different because I'm doing my own show here at my house in the shit-covered streets of Berwyn, Illinois. My voice sounds different because I'm actually talking into a cassette recorder now instead of doing it over the phone. So I think you can pretty much hear me enunciate more clearly the words that I speak. I am by no means a public speaker or a great speaker at all. I know I stumble on a lot of words. And that's because my mind just moves too fast when I'm trying to think of stuff. Well, that's the phrase I was looking for. Natural selection. You carry on that type of natural selection with our ancestors, where a man and a woman would have 8 to 10 children and most of them would die because of the elements, but the strongest survive. How can nature not create a kick-ass race? Remember that, and don't apologize for it. I want to continue on with the SEER training, survival, evasion, resistance, and escape. These things I got written down, I pretty much took notes from FM 21-76. Oh, real quick, I want to clarify something that I started to talk about earlier. It was on the flip side of this cassette. I talked about that, you know, you should have your car key on a quick-release ring on your keychain and only have that key. And then I started thinking about an associate, a hardcore dedicated brother who went on an op the other night, but his fuel pump went out and he had to ditch his car on the medium of a highway. And he grabbed most of the things that was in his car. But you know what? Because of his situation, let me alter that. Have your car key and your house key on a quick release thing. Them are the only two keys you should have with you. And put them down in your pocket, undo your pants, your belt, and your fly, and put a rubber band around the pocket from the inside. This way the keys don't fall out. And if you need to get them in a hurry, you can force that rubber band off by just jamming your hand down in that pocket. But what I didn't want two keys rattling together, but I don't think they will if you wrap it up like that. So have your car key and your house key. Them should be the only keys you leave your house with. Keys for your storage unit and stuff like that. You shouldn't need anything out of your storage unit. You should have enough forethought to already have the things in your bag. You know, you went to your storage unit maybe a couple days before the op. You should have everything in your bag. You should make a mental list. I shudder to think about writing anything down, but, you know, make a list and check it twice. Okay. Ghost Wolf Radio is a ancillary radio program of Insurgency Radio Network, all made possible by the highly dedicated friend of ours, Tom Metzger. Tom Metzger can be reached at tm_Metzger@yahoo.com. He can be reached by mail at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And write in. Buy some things from the guy. You know, throw the guy a Sawbuck or a Hondo or something. You know? Maybe sacrifice not drinking beer for a week. Save up all that money and send it to Tom. You know, I'm not getting paid for these shows, and neither is Lone Wolf Wall Street or Lone Wolf Computer Man. We do these shows because we have a sense of urgency and see that the time, we're fucking running out of time here. Excuse my French, I'm trying to stop cursing, but it's hard for me not to get emotional on this stuff. So, write Tom, listen to the area and update line at 574-267-5036. He's put together DVDs on training, different scenarios for training. You need to, you know, get a hold of these things. All right, so continuing on with SEER training. When on an op, have no maps with marks on them if captured to compromise the mission. I talked about that, okay. Existing shelters such as abandoned houses, barns, caves, haystacks should be avoided. I concur with that if they are in a relative immediate area of enemy patrols, the place where you escaped from enemy hands, the place where you were disorganized or cut off from your other Ghost Wolf cell. I really don't foresee having a cell right now. If you got some hardcore friends that believe in what you believe, and if there's only three of you, man, you guys got the world. You don't need no more than that. Stop falling for this temptation of joining organizations so you can hold hands with people. Okay? You need to give up those tactics. But you may need to use abandoned houses, barns, and caves if the weather, you know, is inclement. Like, you know, snow, winter. Such places are sure to come under enemy investigation, although certain types of climate, you may not have a choice. But if you're out in an immediate area, you put miles between you and your enemy, you can maybe hold up in one of these types of places. I believe that when the FBI searches an area, they call it, you know, they call it a hard target search. Search every outhouse, every abandoned home, you know, and that's usually within the, you know, the radius of maybe 5 miles from where they lost the person's scent or so forth. So, consider that. All right, two types of obstacles are natural obstacles and human obstacles. Natural obstacles are rivers, streams, mountains, stuff like that. Human obstacles are border guards, heavily patrolled border areas, enemy troops, enemy patrols. Some of these obstacles may be converted into assets, while others might be a hindrance. With rivers and streams, bridges and ferries can seldom be used. You can hardly use them since enemies will normally establish checkpoints there. All right, so you're on the run. You're crossing, you know, country. You're staying off road. You're staying away from built up areas. You know, built up areas like towns and villages and human enclaves. One of the reasons why you want to stay away from them is because you may, your scent may be picked up by some local dog and he starts barking his head off and attracts the attention of the people who live there. You don't want that. But then again, maybe they'll ignore it because maybe they think you're like a raccoon that's making, you know, noises in the woods or something like that. But it's just, it's not something you want to put the chance. Alright? Okay, so you go across countries and you see a bridge over a river, you better approach it with a lot of caution. You know, there may not be a guard standing on the bridge, guarding the bridge. He may be in a covered, concealed position waiting for you to cross that bridge. I would really, you know, if you're on the run and you're doing a long-range evasion, stay away from, try your best to stay away from bridges, even at night. Okay? Because like I said, the guard don't have to be just standing on the bridge, walking it back and forth. He could be in a covered, concealed position waiting to ambush your ass. Alright? Stay away from ferries, too. And I'm not talking about the limp-wristed kind. Well, maybe you should do that, too. If you, any of the surgeons out there are homosexuals, I don't have a problem with you. Just please don't make a pass at me. Especially if you're truly active. You're truly active, I guess I'll look the other way as long as you keep that shit in the closet. But I definitely don't putt from the rough. All right. Use some kind of field expedient means to get across, like maybe a makeshift raft. Maybe you can find a log that's made out of a light type of wood, like birch or, maybe an ash log, and something like that. Something that you can just get across. You know, it's not too strong of a river. It's not going to, if you don't make it across, you're not going to be sucked into some rapids. You got to be careful for that. If you cross, then I would cross downstream of some rapids. Just follow the river you know, you can cover concealment to where you know, let's say the river is flowing south, and you see some rapids in a southerly direction. Move even more south. Cross the river south of the rapids, not north of them. Okay? In mountains, survival is a primary concern. You may have to wait in one place until spring comes in order to travel. Mountains also contain havens, you know, like caves and stuff, food, water, low population densities. And it said in there, I didn't write it down, but I believe it said if you run into somebody, you can maybe get help from them because human population in the mountains are so spread out that, you know, if the guy decides to rat on you, he may need to travel a great distance to do it. You could have a short-wave radio, though. It's not something you want to put to chance. I mean, you know, you could watch his house from cover concealed position and maybe try to, you know, take some of his carrots or whatever he's growing. I would try my best not to approach him. You'd have to be in real desperate straits to do that. One type of obstacles are artificial obstacles, like electric fences. Look for dead animals, installations on wire. Maybe the fence is popping due to a rainstorm. You know, it's raining and you hear the wire fence like sizzling and popping. Now, one way you want to approach an electric fence, you can test this type of fence by moving carefully. Don't make too many sudden movements. You don't want to fall into it accidentally. Take a blade of grass or a damp stick and touch the wire. You might receive a mild shock, but you won't be injured, according to the book. I'm going to tell you what, my first thing I'm going to do is maybe toss a stick at it, see if I can get some kind of spark, get some kind of reaction. I would approach this wire obstacle. I would approach it cautiously. It could be under closed circuit television. It could be video surveillance there, so be careful. Also, they got this thing. We really didn't train too much with it when I was in the Army. There's a thing called ground surveillance radar. And it's basically something you just pound into the ground, you know, you stake it into the ground, basically. And it's not, you know, real elaborate, but, it sends out radio waves of anyone that could be walking by, like a patrol. It'll pick up, like, a couple of guys walking down a trail or whatever. And that's another reason why to avoid trails, ground surveillance radar. They would be most likely concentrated on the roads. They could be out in the woods, but you know, you can bypass them by hundreds of feet. It may still pick you up, but then again, you know, I read somewhere before, technology could have it act together, but there's always a flawed human being who monitors technology. So he may confuse your movement with, you know, water buffalo going through the woods or an antelope or something, but take all precautions, though. Okay, so I would test an electric fence by tossing a stick at it. For a contaminated area, one where biological agents have been used, look for shell craters with liquid in the bottom, if it hasn't been raining. Look for liquid droplets on vegetation, if it has not been raining. But then again, it could be condensation. But look at the droplets. I'd be careful approaching them. Are they milky at all? How about unexpected dead animals? How about unseasonable discoloration of vegetation? Here it is, the middle of summer, right? And you got dead you got like a, you know, 100 square meters of dead vegetation. I would definitely avoid walking through there and pay attention to animals, okay? All right, borders may be in any type of terrain. It could be open areas with no well-defined terrain feature to indicate a border. It could be man-made obstacles such as electric fences or barbed wire fences augmented with trip flares and anti-personnel mines. or flares. I don't know if I covered this before. I'll cover it anyways. All right, you're moving along through at night, and all of a sudden, a ground flare illuminates. Maybe you trip the tripwire, and a ground flare immediately illuminates the area. Your immediate action is to get the hell out of the illuminated area. You don't want to stand there so they can take well-aimed shots. If you trip a flare, most likely it's under some kind of surveillance. Okay? Could be a couple fighting positions or something. If the flare is an aerial flare, but it has a warning before it goes up, you'll hear a whistle go up before the illumination occurs. With that kind of flare, you just immediately hit the deck. Or, if you can, get out of the area or get behind cover. If you encounter an aerial flare that had no warning, you tripped a tripwire or whatever, and you know it shot up into the sky. You know, you'll hear the warning of one of those type of aerial flares. But there's other type of aerial flares that drop from aircraft that are high up in the air. And all of a sudden you're walking along, it's pitch black, and all of a sudden it's like a midnight sun comes out. Alright? If you're in a heavily wooded area, and you're surprised by that, no sudden movements. Freeze and make like a tree. Okay? Alright. And like I said before, if they have that type of flares, they probably won't have infrared radar. If they have infrared technology, infrared night vision devices, they won't need flares. Alright, moving right along here. Open areas in border area may be patrolled by men with dogs, especially during darkness. Keep that in mind. In open terrain, you may encounter floodlights and plowed strips in the ground to aid in detecting evaders. Basically, you know, you have a border area and you have flares, of course, but they also have large tracts of ground that are just plowed up, man. It's just nothing but dirt there. Nothing to conceal your movement or, you know, all of a sudden you trip a flare, and even though you're wearing camouflage uniforms or whatever, you're still going to be silhouetted against that black ground, even though it's nighttime out. But remember, you're under the illumination of a flare. So they could do that. If you see stuff like that, avoid it at all costs. Strips of ground that have been cleared of all vegetation. Whether it's done by a defoliating agent, chemical, or it's done by, you know, a backhoe or, mechanical shovel of some kind. To cross the border, try to coincide your crossing with bad weather, using the bad weather as a distraction. It's a natural tendency, even among some disciplined soldiers, and all armies experience this. They're standing a post in inclement weather. They don't want to be there. They don't want to get wet. They're going to seek some type of shelter, but still try to monitor their area of responsibility. If they're in a foxhole, they're going to be down in that hole. I mean, you may have some diligent soldiers still manning their post behind their weapon system, waiting for a flare to be illuminated or so. And sometimes these troops, they have a false sense of security put in these flares. So they'll be down in the foxhole smoking cigarettes, maybe heating up some coffee, you know, with a sterno. And they feel like maybe they don't want to watch their sets of fire because it's pitch black out there, and they're just waiting for someone to trip a flare. You may not trip a flare. You may walk right by their hole. Okay? So try to coincide your crossing with bad weather. When bad weather, whether it's freezing, snowstorms, thunderstorms, I cannot stress enough, they are outstanding helpers to you in your Ghost Wolf operation. You need to not be so sensitive. Don't worry about getting wet. Don't worry about being covered in mud. You can clean your clothes. You can take a shower. You're not going to be like that forever. I've been in situations when I was in the Army, especially when I was stationed at Fort Polk, Louisiana, and nothing but swamps down there. And I remember being out in the woods like weeks at a time, just filthy and nasty. You just get used to it. You get used to the scent of your own funk. And by the way, when you go on a Ghost Wolf op, absolutely no cologne. Not unless that op requires you to mix amongst your fellow human bipeds, okay? But I wouldn't put too strong of a scent on. I told you guys before on a Ghost Wolf show and when I co-hosted with Tom, I've actually trailed people by the scent of a cologne that they left behind. I've done that numbers of times. Walking through a dark parking lot and a apartment complex, and I come across this scent, and I'll follow it. I'll follow through the vestibule of some entryway to an apartment building. Sure enough, there's a lady there in the vestibule checking her mailbox, you know, looking at maybe some of the newspapers that are in the vestibule there. You know, I mean, don't, if you wear cologne, because you're required to, your mission requires you to be in and amongst people, dressing normally, put it on lightly, put it on sparingly. Okay. Also, areas with security that is overextended. You know, there's the places where security is posted, there's a lot of space in between them. You can infiltrate through that. But usually, a smart military force will coincide these overextended, because maybe you don't have the personnel to cover the area. Coincide this overextended security element with usually found with natural obstacles, like a river, a mountain range, or something. Okay? So usually if you run into a security detail that is overextended, there could be a natural obstacle that they're exploiting to help them out in their providing security. And security could be, you know, blocking, some kind of blocking movement to keep you from crossing somewhere. Your crossing should definitely take place at night. If your crossing takes place during the day, select a place that has the most protection and cover. All right, you found your place. You found your crossing. Maybe it's a river that bends. Okay? You can't be observed up the river one way or the other, because it bends. The river bends. Okay? And plus, that's also the best place to cross a road. Remember that I told you the actions to cross the take when you approach a danger area? You come up on a road. You know, if you want to be extra cautious, you can follow that road till you find a bend in the road. Okay. You want to keep this point, if you want to do a day crossing, keep this point under close observation, that bend in the road, that bend in the river, for a couple of days to determine the following things. The number of guards that patrol that road. The manner of their posting. Are they disciplined? Are they lackadaisical? You know, do they walk their post, or do they just sit by the side of the road and just talk shit to each other, smoke cigarettes and, you know, chew bubble gum or whatever? Alright? Watch their mannerisms. Aerial patrols. You want to keep an eye on aerial patrols. Helicopters and, you know, planes. But they got this thing now. They got satellites that can zoom into your position. So even though there's no aerial activity, you could be lulled into a false sense of security. So if the NSZOG is definitely going to have that at their disposal, you may need to think about that. Or keep that in the back of your mind. They could program a satellite to switch its view and just hone in on some trail up in northern Montana. I mean, they could look at, you could hold a quarter in your hand, and they could zoom in and tell you what date's on the quarter. That's how good these optics are, so don't ever underestimate them. But if you need to cross during the day, hey, you just got to go for it. But watch the troops. Watch where they walk and how they walk. If they're avoiding a certain area, they're stepping over things. It could be anti-personnel mines, anti-personnel devices with trip flares. Okay? Watch the troops. Watch civilians. What areas do they avoid? Okay? You see civilians walking up a road, and all of a sudden they walk into the woods to get around a certain part of the road. Then you see them emerge back on the road. Something's in the road there. It's probably anti-personnel mine of some kind. So keep that in mind. Alright, so aerial photos and their frequency, or aerial patrols and their frequency, is something else to determine when you watch your crossing point for a couple of days. You're in a covered concealed position, Yeah, you're hungry. You better start munching on them grasshoppers, man. Insects are what, 90% protein? You better get a taste for them. I've eaten grasshoppers before, trust me. I've eaten crickets. I didn't exactly enjoy them, but I had to do it. I was cut off from my unit for like 3 days. I was fucking starving. Oh, sorry about the cursing, guys. Okay, the limits of the area they patrol. What are the limits of the patrol? They walk a certain way, and they turn around, and they don't walk that way no more. What's covering that gap? Maybe nothing. Could be ground surveillance radar. You know, GSR. Not gunshot residue. You know, it could be wire obstacles, could be anti-personnel mines. You have to use the utmost caution, and you have to watch these troops closely. Closely. Okay? Notice the location of mines, if there are any, or flares with trip wires. Okay? So, you got your crossing point, you selected it, it's a bend in the road or a bend in the river. You notice that there are patrols in the area. You watch this place using all discipline of cover and concealment. When you move around, you don't stand up and walk erect and just put your hands in your pocket and just like you don't got a care in the world. You got to hunch over. You know, there was a military unit in Vietnam called, in the Army, they were called LRPs, Long Range Reconnaissance Patrol. And there are a number of books out there written by guys about their experience in Vietnam, and they are just freaking fascinating. These LRPs had the discipline to lay up in a spider hole for 3 or 4 days. Just in that position, 3 to 4 days, they may switch off with their partner to watch. While the other guy's watching, the other guy's sleeping or recording what he's watching. But they just watch. They don't move. They don't get out of a hole to take a piss. If they got to take a piss, they roll over on their side and they take a piss inside of an MRE bag and they tie it up. And when they leave the area, they take it with them. They leave no trash behind. Okay? I want to read something here. I have to read page 243 in FM 21-76. All right, frontline crossings. General, or generalities. A difficult task in any situation is to attempt to cross the forward edge of the battle area. If unable to determine the general direction of friendly lines, remain in position and observe the movement of enemy military forces or supplies, you know, their supply trucks. The noise and flashes of the battle area, or the orientation of enemy artillery. After arriving in the combat zone, select a concealed position from which as much of the battle area as possible may be observed. Select the route and critical terrain features on which you can guide an exfiltrating, that means you're getting out of Dodge. Exfiltrating back to friendly positions under the cover of darkness. Several alternate routes should be selected with care to avoid easy approaches to enemy lines, which are more likely to be covered by friendly fires and enemy patrols. Now, a lot of this falls under, you know, conventional warfare, but maybe something to keep in mind. If in uniform, select a exposure time during daylight hours to be close enough to be easily recognized by friendly troops. Okay. Friendly patrols. Watch for friendly patrols. Once a patrol is spotted, remain in position and allow the patrol to approach. When the patrol is close enough to recognize you, display a white cloth and call out a greeting that is clearly and unmistakably an American origin. Well, seeing how we're going to be hiding from other Americans, you can kibosh that. It is imperative that at the time of contact there is sufficient light for the patrol to identify you. In the event you elect not to establish contact, you should, if possible, observe their route and approach friendly lines at approximately the same location. This will enable you to avoid minefields and booby traps. The reason why you have to use such caution crossing friendly lines is you could get shot up by a friendly. And that's happened. I mean, like I said, I've never been to combat. You know, I know I said I was at Desert Storm in 92 a couple shows back, but that was for certain misinformation I was practicing. Okay, friendly outpost. If unable to contact a friendly patrol, The only alternative may be to make, turning the page, a direct approach to frontline positions. This will require crawling through the enemy forward positions to create a position near friendly elements. This action should be accomplished during the hours of darkness. Once near friendly lines, however, do not attempt to make contact until there is sufficient light for you to be recognized. As in establishing contact with a friendly patrol, call out something typically, well, seeing how our enemy is going to be Americans, maybe under Chinese occupation, yeah. Rescue by aircraft. You know what, I'm not even going to read that because that doesn't even apply to us. We're not going to have fucking friendly aircraft. Remember, we're by ourselves, and that's our strength. All right, now I have a quitting time of 2:08 down here, and it's 1:42. But I want to read something here in combat training of the individual soldier and patrolling, FM 21-75. It says, care of your weapons. Your weapon functions best when properly maintained. Protect it from weather. Keep it free of sand, dirt, snow, and ice. Do not abuse it or allow others to abuse it. You know, carry cleaning tools, materials, all right, whatever. In extremely cold weather, your weapon can become so sluggish that it will not fire. Use very little and very light oil in such climates. A weapon taken from freezing outside temperatures, okay, into warmer inside temperatures will sweat for about an hour. Dry your weapon thoroughly before taking it into freezing temperatures, or the condensed moisture will freeze the moving parts. If this happens, free the moving parts by thawing. Do not force the parts to move before thawing. You don't want to screw up your weapon there, okay? Oil on your weapon evaporates quickly in hot climates. Check it often. A dry weapon quickly develops trouble. Keep your weapon in the shade whenever possible. Keep your weapon within reach at all times. Okay. Alright. Sights, sounds, and smells of the battlefield area. Sounds can be heard better at night. I've talked about that. Because there are fewer noises to interfere. And because cooler, damper night air carries sound better. Well, if your activities coincide with ambient human activity, or, you know, which was roughly around 8:30, 9 o'clock at night during summer hours, earlier hours during daylight savings time, which happens in fall, that's why I love fall. Fall is like, I try not to schedule too many personal things during the fall, because that is just prime freaking time to get active. You know, it's dark at 4:30. You know, it's like October, November. I think that's why maybe they're backing that up. I don't know. But I try to do as much as I can before the first snowfall. Sounds can reveal your presence to the enemy. Suppress a sneeze by pressing up on your nostrils with your fingers. If you start to cough, squeeze your Adam's apple slightly. If you cannot avoid sneezing or coughing, muffle the noise by burying your nose or mouth into your hands or sleeve. Smells can help or endanger you. Odors from gasoline, cooking food, or burning tobacco can warn you of the enemy's presence or alert him to your presence. Avoid the use of shaving lotions, deodorant, hair oil, or scented soap. Odors from these may reveal your presence to the enemy. Plus, they also attract a lot of insect activity. So if you don't feel like being a smorgasbord, well, don't wear that stuff. Alright, estimating distance. The flash, they call it flash to sound method. They call it flash to bang method. It's particularly useful at night. The appearance of objects. Alright, I'm going to skip some reading here. Alright, flash and sound. Sound travels through the air roughly a constant rate of speed, about 330 meters per second. That's 1,100 feet per second. This makes it possible to estimate distance if you can see and hear the action. Alright, you're looking out in your sector of fire. You see a flash. You immediately start counting 1/1,000. Don't count 1, 2, 3, because you may speed up. You may not get an accurate estimate. It talks about counting with a 3-count, and that will be 1/1,000, 2/1,000, 3/1,000, 4/1,000. All of a sudden, then you hear the boom. that weapon system, whatever it was, is about roughly about 4,000 meters away. Four clicks. Okay? When you see a flash of smoke of the weapon and the dust it raises, immediately start counting at the rate of three counts per second. That's at 1,000, 2,000. So that can be used for smoke, too, during the day. Okay? You know, when smoke comes out of an artillery piece or something like that. When it is necessary to count higher than 9, start over again. Counting higher numbers throws off your count. You don't want to go 9-1,000, 10-1,000, 11-1,000, 12-1,000. You don't want to do that. When you hit 9, start over again at 1-1,000. Okay? Selection of an observation post. Okay. You're an observation post. Your patrol is back behind you about, or your guerrilla cell, your ghost whip cell is like maybe 400 meters to your rear. And you're an early warning device. You're an observation post and listening post. At night, if you don't have any night vision devices, you can only use maybe you can only use your ears, your listening post. And you may have a two-way radio. You've got to be careful talking on that. Okay? Maybe you can just break squelch twice to let your patrol back to know that someone's coming. Okay? And breaking squelch means keying the mic twice. And the other guy's at the radio, he's got to be diligent in listening for that. Selection of an observation post. You know what, I'm going to hold off on that. I don't know if I got time to read that. Well, I really hope that the last show that I did, that I closed out with, really gets your goal. You know? 25% of kindergartners are Hispanic, not to mention the black, the Asian, the Pakistani. 75% of all children in 2025 will be non-white. Now, I'm thinking, and I've said this before, but I'm thinking there's maybe a good number of people out there who don't want collapse. You know what? I got to be honest with you. I mean, I don't want collapse. I don't want to live in a world that don't got electricity or gas or, you know, phone. You know, it's very convenient to go to the grocery store and get my food instead of having to go hunt it. Maybe we should do that every now and then, go hunting for our food. Maybe you should get together with the boys, go out in the woods for 3 days, and you eat nothing but what you kill and catch. Believe me, insects will be most appealing to you. Okay? But I'm thinking maybe even, I hope I'm wrong, I'm thinking maybe a lot of people on the Insurgency Radio Network, you know, I mean, we appreciate your support. Keep supporting Tom. He's doing good stuff. He wants to do more. Freaking guy, he's 70 years old and he still won't give it up. More power to him. You know, I tell you what, he does more before 9 a.m. than William Pierce did before he passed away. And I'm not here to throw people under the bus. I'm not going to do that no more. You know, I all you guys are my brothers. And I love William Pierce, man. I did. And I do. I love his memory. You know, I didn't agree with a lot of his tactics. Well, that's why you can't have an organization, man. You can't have an organization. I mean, how does the FBI infiltrate a lone individual? He can make friends with a suspected ghost wolf. But in order for that FBI guy to win your trust, he has to shed blood. That's just something an undercover agent, an informant, a confidential informant, an agent provocateur, they will not do that. They will not cross that line. I just got done reading a book, Under and Alone, William Queen, who was the ATF agent who infiltrated the Mongols motorcycle gang, which is a predominantly Hispanic motorcycle gang. They got a number of white. They're like 25% white. But another motorcycle gang, they won't allow blacks either. So that's really interesting. Even the Mexican motorcycle gangs won't allow blacks. And the bandidos are the same way. But anyways, how can they infiltrate a lone individual? If someone comes up to you out of the blue on the street, man, these fucking niggers, man, we got to do something about this shit. Hey, what's your name, bro? And you like what's going on with this shit? You know how you treat someone like that? Don't try your best to make your body language not look suspicious. Okay? Oh, man, I got a shitload of time left. According to this, it's hard to see through this thing. Anyways, man, I may need to open this book some more. Man, I hate when I do shit like that. But back to what I'm saying, it's impossible for them to infiltrate a lone individual. And if you have a tight cell of three guys, someone comes up and says, hey, man, I'm just sick and tired of this, man. We got to do something, man. All right, he's saying all the right things, and he looks right, and he looks impressive. Maybe he's got that Sergeant Rock thing going on with the nice square jaw, and he's a good Aryan specimen. I'm telling you, don't fall for that. I would rather take a Jew into my Ghost Wolf cell who has shed blood, who has got his hands dirty because he's wired things, he's cut through things, just a hardcore fanatical guy. I don't know what led him in his upbringing to become the man that he is. Grew up with maybe a Jewish mother and father, maybe didn't treat him well, and maybe deep down inside he has resentment to them, so that's, therefore he gravitates towards white separatism. Hey man, welcome aboard! And I hope you guys feel the same way out there. If you run into a Jew who's doing some very dastardly things in the name of white racist revolutionary struggle, I don't know if I've told you guys this before. I may have said this on a... I gotta start keeping track of this stuff. I used to belong on a forum board called Volksfront. And I don't even know if that's still around anymore. You know, you can post on there about different subjects and this and that. And I remember there was this Korean guy. He said he was half Korean, half white. But he just hated the Korean blood that was in him. You know? He was resentful towards his mother for marrying a Korean man. And maybe he had a bad relationship with his father. That's here or there. I'm not here to judge for that. But, you know, he's active. He's doing shit. But he contacts, you know, folks, when he says, hey, listen, man, I know that I'm not racially acceptable. I know I'm part, you know, Korean, I'm part white. I know I'm not racially acceptable. But, man, what can I do to help the race? What can I do? And some piece of shit, probably the kind of guy who's intoxicated by the sound of his own voice, the kind of guy who thinks he's just king shit because maybe he can quote Mein Kampf or something, he wrote back and responded to this Korean, half-Korean guy, yeah, you can help out the white race by killing yourself. Now, is that right? I say unequivocally, emphatically, no, that was not right. We don't have a whole lot of resources. We don't have a whole lot of allies. We got majority of the white race against us. And here's this Korean guy. You know, half Korean. Korean, don't matter. Says, man, you know, I just love everything that's white. And I hate this half Korean blood that's in me. And he said, what can I do? You know what I would have done? I would have said, hey, listen, bro. And I don't even call him bro. Because I don't want him to be on guard. I said, listen, brother, I appreciate your enthusiasm. I appreciate that someone like you, who's not even 100% white, is willing to sacrifice for our race. I'll tell you what. I encourage you to act on your own. You have no supervision. You have no one to tell you what to do, and that is your power. And because you're half Korean, you will not be suspected of doing the dastardly deeds. If you do something dastardly and you leave a spray-painted message behind with a swastika, they're going to be looking for some blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy. They're not going to look at you. You have untold power, half-Korean brother. You have untold power. You will fly under the radar more than I can ever imagine, because they won't suspect you. Or how about you, mulatto? You grew up with a white mother and a black father, and maybe you hated your black father. Maybe he abandoned your white mother. Maybe you hate the fact that you have these two races conflicting inside you with all this confliction of natural instincts and stuff. On one point you want to be lazy, but on the next point you want to read, you know? And maybe you got this conflict going on inside and you hate it. You know what I say? I'll call you bro. okay? Go out there and do the dastardly. You don't have to answer to no one. And when you do your act, leave a spray-painted message behind with an unequal sign, with a swastika. And that is your power. You have untold power. You are unstoppable. How would they ever suspect you? They would have to catch you in the act. Mulatto, half Asian, maybe half Hispanic. I'm not saying we're going to bring these guys in and have them copulate with our women. But what if we did win this thing? How nice would it be to have a monument called the Honored Hall of Non-Aryans? And we'll have bronze statues of those non-whites or half-breeds that helped us out in our struggle. We say, I'll tell you what, we're going to let you live amongst white side because you fought for it. You shed blood for it. But we may want to sterilize you. You got a problem with that? You know, we just give you a vasectomy, put you under, I swear to God, we're going to revive you. We're not going to euthanize you. You fought diligently and hard for the white race. We will not do that to you. Why? Because we are a race of honor. If people do things with the works of their hands, do things that help the white race, you have to honor them. You know? And I could take that even further. Like, let's say a guy like Jeff Scoop. And I keep talking about this guy a lot because I see a lot of potential with this guy. He's a firebrand when he talks. Seems like a pretty intelligent guy. He's a good-looking white guy. Good specimen of Aryan manhood. If this show would ever come across his ears, I know I've kind of talked bad about you before, not out of disrespect, bro, but I just out of frustration. I'm just a frustrated guy. I just see my race. I walk out my door and I see death. I turn on my TV and I see death of the white race. And then I see too many of our people who believe in what we believe, but who want to still, you know, go on with these old tactics. It's like running into a brick wall with your head and get knocked on your ass, maybe knocked unconscious, and you come to, and sure enough, you're going to run back to the other side of the room and run head on into the brick wall again. That's what we've been doing. We need to stop that. So you half-breeds, you non-whites, you fight for the white race, I will do my utmost. Even Jews, I will do my utmost to make sure that you are protected. We need to get to a level of chaos. You've heard Tom say it much better than I can ever say it. We cannot win by the ballot box. Armed revolution comes from the barrel of a gun. What are you saying, Frank? You start going out and killing people? Well, you know, in my novel, Eric Blackburn's doing that, but that's, you know, that's just a novel. I mean, I'm just writing a novel for, as a catharsis, you know, it's something for me to blow off steam. But I wouldn't mind if I turn on CNN one morning. And I'm not trying to be a bad guy. I don't want to be a bad guy. I don't see myself as a tough guy or a hard guy. But I would love it if I turned on CNN. And this is just me talking. I would love to hear about indiscriminate random killings of our racial enemies. Am I an advocate of violence? Absolutely. Am I going out committing violence? No, I'm a law-abiding person. All these examples I gave of ghost wolf activities, before I even knew what a ghost wolf was, that's a lot of stuff I did in the past. And I'm not saying I shed any blood, you know, but I'm just, you know, I like to walk around at night. NSM, Villanders, Ku Klux Klan, Brothers of the Struggle, I beg of you, if you have ever come across this Ghost Wolf radio show, please give it some hearty consideration. Ron Edwards for the IKA, Imperial Clans of America, they're taking your land, brother, because I'm going to tell you right now, I would have loved to turn on CNN one morning, and this is just me talking. I would have just loved to hear. I would have just loved to hear about, you know, that shitskin who was talking shit, who's now got millions of dollars from the IKA. Ron, who's your land? I've been on your land. I was at Nordic Fest, 2005. I don't think we've ever met, but you know, it's a great time, man. I bought a lot of CDs. But man, I mean, come on! I mean, you're losing. We have to go underground. We have to split it up. Jeff, Commander Scoop, think about that. Just turn your proto units over to themselves. Have a meeting. Say, guys, I'm turning you loose. You guys are now autonomous. Do what you want. You do not answer to me no more. I will be an above ground public figure of white separatism. I will be a spokesman. I will put on my email address or my website, nsn88.com. I will say I'm available for interviews, speeches at colleges and universities and grammar or high schools. You know, kind of, you know, get the circuit that Tom Metzger has been barred from. They barred him. Maybe they won't bar you, Jeff. But just, I ask you to adopt the principles of leaderless resistance. Just turn them loose. You have a group of guys that hang out with you called the Ohio State Hooligans. Turn them loose. Say, guys, we ain't going to meet no more. You know, maybe the Ohio State Hooligans can just bust up into little, smaller groups. That drives the fucking system crazy. They can't handle that. They cannot infiltrate an individual. Because you, Ghost Wolf, are smarter than that. If someone wants to earn your trust, you're not gonna go along with him because he says nigger or Jew or he says we gotta do something. No, you gotta watch him do the dastardly. You have to watch him with your own eyes. And that's just the way it's gonna, and that is just the line. You know, I was talking about that William Queen, you know, I consider him a piece of shit because he infiltrated the National Alliance. But you know, they wanted him to do something. They wanted him to do a line of crank, and he wouldn't do it. He got out of it. What if the Mongols would have made him say, listen, you want to be patched in? You know, get your Mongol patch to be a full-fledged member? We have to watch you kill someone. The jig would have been up. And if he would have refused, they would have put a bullet in his head. If the Mongols would have did that, they would have never been taken down by that guy. It's something to consider. Come dwell in me, wild dog. May I earn my name in sweeping fog. This is my favorite poem, by the way. I must become a man of war. A whipping dog I be no more. Ghost wolf, I work by firelight. Ghost wolf, I steal through the night. Ghost wolf, what's my body count? Ghost wolf, my future's in doubt. Ruthless, my barbarity. Robert J. Matthews is alive in me. When I light a fuse, I feel control. No warning for me, no fire in the hole! Ghost Wolf will strike the fatal blow. Ghost Wolf will make the cities glow. Ghost Wolf will launch the attack. Ghost Wolf will bring the Stone Age back. There's fire in the minds of betrayed men. It does not matter how our lives end. But when it does end, may it tell the story of how we went out in a blaze of glory. Ghost Wolf, destroy the government. Ghost Wolf, make a new covenant. Ghost Wolf, one based on race. Ghost Wolf, our own living space. A terrible vengeance will seize the day. The system will weep from the dirge we play. Dirge is a funeral song. When the white man's wrath is then descending, the blood of white traitors will be never ending. Ghost Wolf, it's kill or be killed. Ghost Wolf will bathe in blood spilled. Ghost Wolf, he who dares wins. Ghost Wolf, another the Dark Age begins. We must secure the existence of our people in a future for white children. I ask you to carpe noctem, seize the night. I also beg of you to become a wolf. I fucking beg of you, become a wolf in human shape. For the white race to survive, for the white race to go forward, we temporarily need to go backwards. We need to rediscover who we were when we were a race of ass kickers. It is a damn shame that the race that walked on the moon is just going to give up their civilization to muds. Seize the night. Starve the sheep inside you and feed the wolf. Bringer des Blutes. Zusammen sind wir eins.